The book of Revelation is a great mystery, and many avoid it. However, it tells us at the very beginning, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." So if the one who reads, hears, and keeps those things written in the book is blessed or benefited, why would anyone neglect it? In a previous Tomorrow's World program, we discussed the first and the second of what are known as the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Telecast presenter Michael Haykoop explained the meaning of the rider on the white horse and the rider on the red horse. If you missed that powerful and insightful program, you can find it on our website at twcanada.org. Today, I'm going to explain the meaning of the riders on the black and pale horses, but I'll also show you how all four horses fit into the timeline of end time prophecy. In addition, I'll be offering you a free resource that gives greater significance to the black and pale horses. So stay with me as I'll be back in 5 seconds to reveal how these four end time plagues fit into the future of you and your loved ones. A warm welcome to all of you from all of us here at Tomorrow's World, where this is the second in a series of programs on the Four Horsemen of Revelation. Today, I'll explain the meaning of the third and fourth horses and their riders, but it's vitally important to begin at the beginning. The preamble of the book gives essential keys needed to understand how the four horsemen fit into the overall picture. The preamble begins in chapter 1 and verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Now, it's easy to think that such words are unimportant, but that is a grave mistake, as they explain, number one, who the message is from, number two, who opens or reveals that message, number three, who delivers it, and number four, who are the intended recipients. Some of the most outrageous speculations are the result of not knowing these simple facts. Even those who translate and publish the Bible often miss the mark. For example, note the title given to this book in these popular translations: "The Revelation of St. John the Divine." That's from the King James Version. "The Book of Revelation, the Revelation of John." That's from the New Testament in Modern English by J.B. Phillips. And "The Revelation of John, the Revelation of Jesus Christ." That's the New American Standard Bible. Now, these titles were added by men and contradict the opening words of the preamble. So the first thing we need to know is who opens our understanding to the message. So key number one is, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, "of" denotes possession rather than about. The message is not primarily about the person of Christ, as many believe. Yes, he is intimately involved in the message, but his role is primarily that of one who reveals or explains the meaning of the message. But who is the originator of the message? Key number two, which God gave him. The message that Jesus reveals or explains comes from his Father. But who is the message ultimately for? Key number three, to show his servants. Who these servants of God are might seem to be an easy question to answer, but is it? I'll give you the answer shortly. But when are the things written in the book to begin? Key number four, things which must shortly take place. While the book is primarily about end time events, the message also had relevance for that time. But who was to carry the message to God's servants? That's key number five. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And what was it that John was to record? Key number six, John, who bore witness A, to the word of God, and B, to the testimony of Jesus Christ and see to all things that he saw. There's an additional key to understanding where the four horsemen fit into end-time events, and that's found in verse 10. Here we find the theme of the book where John writes, key number 7, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is critical to understanding, but it has been clouded by so-called scholars who tell us that the Lord's Day refers to a day of the week. Notice this paraphrased version. It was Sunday, and I was worshiping. But does Lord's Day mean Sunday? Dear readers, nothing could be further from the truth. As we will see, this expression in Revelation is not talking about a day of the week. However, if it were talking about a day of the week, what day of the week does Jesus tell us he is the Lord of? There's not a single passage of Scripture that says that Jesus is Lord of Sunday. That is a human invention promulgated long after Christ was resurrected. On the contrary, Jesus himself tells us 3 times that when speaking of a day of the week, he, that is the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus kept the biblical Sabbath from what we refer to as Friday sunset until Saturday sunset. However, a day of the week is not the theme of Revelation. What then is the theme of the book? I'll answer that question and explain how the four horsemen fit into that theme in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about today's free offer, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. This resource speaks in greater detail about the third and fourth riders and puts in perspective why we have alternating droughts and floods, cyclones and hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions. It explains that what we see today is nothing in comparison to what is to come. Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, explains what terrifying cataclysmic events will shake the earth in the future. Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, is yours free for the asking with no follow-up for money. It's paid in advance by members of the Living Church of God, our co-workers and donors. So pick up the phone or go to our website to order your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. Welcome back. On this Tomorrow's World program, I'm explaining how the third and fourth horsemen of the apocalypse, actually all four horsemen, fit into end-time prophecy. And for that, we need to understand what the theme of the book is. Revelation 1 and verse 10 refers not to a day of the week, but the time of Christ's intervention at the end of the age. This is clear from the content of the book, which I'll explain in more detail later in this program. But since John is to take the message to the servants of God, we need to know who those servants are. Immediately following the preamble, we read in verse 4 of chapter 1, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne. In verse 13, we read of the glorified Christ walking among 7 lampstands and are informed in verse 20 that the lampstands represent these 7 churches. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. There were many congregations scattered across the Mediterranean region, so why these 7? Chapters 2 and 3 contain the messages to each of the 7. Scholars recognize that these churches are more significant than just any churches of God at any time. There are clear references that apply to different historic times. The letter to Smyrna, for example, speaks of 10 days of severe persecution or tribulation. Elsewhere, we see that a biblical day sometimes stands for a year, and history records 10 years of severe persecution upon all the churches of God in Asia under Emperor Diocletian, from 303 to 313 AD. On the other hand, the references to the sixth and seventh churches speak of the time at the end of the age when Christ returns. And try as they might, scholars are unable to shoehorn the mainstream church into eras that align with these seven churches. And there's a reason why. They're looking for the servants of God in the wrong place. The key to understanding that was given by Mr. Michael Haykoop, who pointed out that the rider on the white horse represents counterfeit Christianity. That program can be found on our website, twcanada.org. Now for a quick overview leading up to the four riders. Revelation chapter 1, the message comes from God, is revealed by Jesus Christ, is given to John to pass to the servants of God, and the message is about the day of the Lord. Chapters 2 and 3 explain in detail who the servants of God are down through time. Chapter 4 gives details of God sitting on His throne in heaven. And chapter 5 introduces the message of Revelation contained on a scroll secured by seven seals. Now, this is critical to understand. So let's take a closer look at it by reading the first five verses of Revelation, the fifth chapter. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I, that is John, wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." The remainder of the chapter reveals that this is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all worship and honor. Yes, as we read in the opening verse of the book, it is Jesus Christ who is the one who breaks the seals and reveals their message. Now we come to chapter 6, where six of the seven seals are opened, including the four horsemen. Three of the four horsemen are easily identified. Only the first is not, for reasons that presenter Michael Haykoop covered in his program on the white and red horses. And the next portion of this program, we'll look at the third and fourth horsemen and see how they fit into end-time prophecy. But I want to remind you of today's free offer, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. This resource explains why tornadoes, earthquakes, droughts, and floods, and other so-called acts of God occur. It also shows what the Bible says about unprecedented natural disasters in the near future. Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, has everything to do with the black and pale horses and their riders. So call the toll-free number shown on your screen, or go to our website, twtv.org/disasters, to order your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. And when I come back in 15 seconds, we'll look at what the Bible tells us about the black and pale horses and their riders, and how they fit into the sequence of end-time events. Many have heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse and know that they have something to do with bad things to happen in the future, but few can give you further details. In this series on the four horsemen, fellow presenter Michael Haykoop explained the white horse, whose rider represents counterfeit Christianity, and the red horse, whose rider carries a great sword and takes peace from the earth. Let's now look at the third and fourth horses and their riders. We'll begin in chapter 6 and verse 5. "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades, that is, the grave, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. The understanding of what the third rider symbolizes is pretty much straightforward. He's on a black horse, and he represents famine. However, the rider on the pale horse is a little bit less straightforward. He clearly represents death and Hades, or the grave, but we're left to speculate on the cause of death. Note that the last part of verse 8 says, "And power was given to them," that is all four of the riders, "over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth." Now, beasts of the earth would hardly account for the totality of death brought about by the pale rider. And this is another reason to look to the one who reveals, that is Jesus Christ. As presenter Michael Haku pointed out in the previous program, we must turn to the words of Jesus for explanations of these symbols. And to not do so leaves open the most outrageous speculations. Matthew 24 gives us the pattern found here in Revelation 6. Notice that the time setting is just prior to Jesus' return, beginning in verse 3. "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name,'" in other words, claiming his authority, "saying, 'I am the Christ,'" or preaching that Jesus is the Christ, "and will deceive many." Now, this is how we know that the rider on the white horse represents a counterfeit Christianity. Note that the signs that follow are in the same order and give us the pattern for understanding the riders. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." These words by Jesus clearly reveal that the red horse represents warfare, as we find the same sequence of events in both Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. The next thing Jesus mentions is, "And there will be famines." This aligns with the rider on the black horse, where he has scales to measure out scarce foods. After famines, Jesus mentions pestilences or disease epidemics and earthquakes. "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences or disease epidemics, and earthquakes in various places." Now, it's easy to see why God used a pale horse, as sick people often look pale and sickly. But the Revelator indicates that there will be other causes of death, including earthquakes and wild animals. Collectively, these riders bring death and destruction over a fourth of the earth. "And power was given to them," all four of the riders, "over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth." But when does all this happen? There's a key that answers this question, and I'll give you that in the last portion of this program. Today, we're offering an absolutely free resource that explains why mankind is plagued by earthquakes, alternating floods and droughts, hurricanes and cyclones, tornadoes, and volcanic eruptions. This resource, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, also looks over the horizon when far greater disasters will hit this earth. Not only will the riders on the four horses affect a quarter of the earth, but greater calamities will follow. Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, answers the question of why a God of love allows such disasters to strike indiscriminately on earth. So to receive your personal copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call the toll-free number shown on your screen. Or you can go to twtv.org Disasters to order a copy. There'll be no request for money, and your name will not be sold to others. And when I come back after this short break, I'll give you the key that answers the question of how these four writers fit into the scope of end-time prophecy. Many people have heard of the four horsemen of Revelation, but few can list them. Fewer still understand their significance. Virtually no one who is part of traditional Christianity understands the rider on the white horse. Before leaving this subject, we need to look at a few details regarding the placement of these riders in the story flow of end-time Bible prophecy. We saw in the preamble to Revelation that while God the Father is the author of the message, it is Jesus Christ who reveals, who gives understanding of the message. The words of Jesus in Matthew 24 give us the pattern of end-time events. Counterfeit Christianity, wars, famines, and pestilences have plagued mankind since Christ spoke these words. So what's new about the four horsemen? Simply put, these four scourges are ramped up to a far greater level. The rider on the white horse, a deceptive, charismatic, miracle-working leader, called in Revelation the false prophet or the Antichrist, will emerge on the scene in the near future. He'll align himself with a political leader known as the Beast. The rider on the red horse of war will follow. The black horse of famine and the rider on the pale horse follow in close succession. The result will be massive death affecting one quarter of the earth. But end-time prophecy is not about four destructive riders only. As we read in chapter 5, the message of Revelation is contained on a scroll that is sealed with seven seals. The four horsemen begin their ride when each of the first four are opened. And once opened, they continue to the time of Christ's return. But much happens after they begin their ride. After the pale rider, the fifth seal is opened, and we read of a martyrdom of the servants of God. This is followed by the sixth seal opening to terrifying heavenly signs. Notice this beginning in Revelation 6 and verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Now, notice verse 17, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" This, dear friends, is the theme of the book of Revelation. Remember in chapter 1, verse 10, where John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day"? This is not talking about a day of the week. The Lord's day is another way of saying the day of the Lord, a time spoken of in the Bible some 30 times as being the time of Christ's return. Paul spoke of it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." There are many references that are found in the Old Testament. For example, Zechariah wrote, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst." And Isaiah tells us that it is a one-year period of the Lord's vengeance. "Come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to the slaughter. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion." Yes, the four horsemen are merely the prelude to the theme of Revelation, the time of Christ's wrath on rebellious mankind. Of course, they continue their ride during that time, but they're not the theme of Revelation. They appear when the first four seals of the scroll are opened. And it is a seventh seal that constitutes many events that sum up the day of the Lord. Be sure to order your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. And be sure to come back next week when Stuart Wojcicki, Michael Haycoop, and I continue to give you understanding of end-time Bible prophecies and the good news of the coming kingdom of God. See you next week. I hope you profited from this video. If you found it helpful and want to learn more, be sure to get your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, by clicking the link in the description or go to twtv.org/disasters. We here at Tomorrow's World want to help you understand our world through the pages of the Bible. So be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you don't miss another video. Thanks for watching. See you next time.